The next disease that's somewhat closely related is long hopes. Tulul amal. Tulul amal. In the Quran, it comes, فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدْ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. That, you know, the time period became very long for them, and so their hearts became hard. It's interesting because over there, you're being told in the Quran, literally the effect that tulul amal can have on the heart. It actually hardens the heart. And a heart that's hard is that it just doesn't care. It doesn't care, and a heart that is hard is ghafil. So, and we'll talk about, I don't know, yeah, that's a separate disease about, I think I have written it somewhere, about being hard-hearted is a separate disease, right? And it has different signs, and it needs different treatments, and all of those things. But this is one of the ways that you get there, into a hard heart, is having this tul amal. Ibn Hajar, rahimullah, he says that what tul amal, he says it is hope. This tul amal is wishing that the soul, the wishing what the soul loves of long life and increase in riches. So it's a type of wishful thinking that a person has. You know, there's a book that I read when I was in high school, I think, Tuck Everlasting. I don't know if people have heard of that, but you know, in this book, it's about, I think eventually went and they made a cinematic, you know, rendition of this as well. But the idea there is, there's a family that that drinks of this special water and then they live forever or something. And then another person chooses not to drink from that water and implication. It's like a romantic comedy slash love type of thing. And as the author was trying to expose to young readers to the idea of love. But one of the, you know, sort of hidden lessons in there that it's not necessarily a positive thing or good. Like, death is not actually something bad, because if you're living forever, you might actually yearn for death, because, you know, life gets boring and life can get hard and life can get long. And so sometimes what the human being wants is really not even good for them, right? People want to live forever. You know, the Quran talks about this. لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ what is it? يَوَدُّ أَحَدُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ عَلْفَ سَنَةً. That one of them, he wishes that if he had a chance, he would live for 1,000 years. I can tell you, if you were living for 1,000 years, you literally would want to die. Every day you'd be making dua, Ya Allah, take me. Like, people think that a long life is good. But and this is something that, you know, I noticed, I don't know, maybe 5-10 years ago, the dunya doesn't have a lot to offer, right? It's actually pretty limited. You know, and especially if you travel around and you, like, gone all over the world, like, every the most amazing quote-unquote country on the face of the earth, the United States, you, and like, people are like, oh, I love to travel and have new experiences. What new experiences? Every single place has the same Walmart. Every single place has the same McDonald's. All the roads look the same. And the every time you go to a new city, like, what can you do? Like, oh, we have an aquarium. Nice. Right? We have a zoo. Nice. You know, it's like, so does everyone else. And that's it. Like, you have, I go and see, how many monkeys can you see? It's just, it gets old, right? The dunya gets old. And, you know, after a certain time, you just get tired. You just want to lie down and go to sleep. And that's why sometimes, you know, death is ashiya rahma. And, but this is a disease that some people have. About the Bani Israel, what is it? لَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ حَيَىٰ. That, you know, these people, the Quran talks about the hypocrisy of these people. From one side of their mouth, they say, oh, we're the beloved of Allah, and we're awesome, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, and He'll never punish us. But they don't want to die. If Allah loves you so much, go back to your Allah. Go see what you have. Right? But you will find that people, they cling on to life with their nails. Not ready to leave. And so this idea of being clingy to life and having this hope for a very long life, can be very problematic for an individual. And the reason it becomes problematic is that it makes a person feel like they're going to live forever, so they don't work for the akhirah. Right? That's why the heart becomes thin. Then there's like, man, what's the big deal? Right? I mean, I'm just living it. I'm living life. Right? And so they become completely blinded for the hereafter. You know, the Prophet ﷺ in one hadith, he said, لَا يَزَالُ الْقَلْبُ الْكَبِيرُ شَابًا فِي اثْنَيْنِ. That the heart of an old person, it still remains youthful in two things. Right? You're so old, but it remains youthful in two things. One of them, في حب الدنيا, and the second is طول الأمل. Person who's like 60 years old, 70 years old, they're still chasing after cars, women, and, you know, wine. You're 70 years old. Like, ajib, man, cool down. We have one foot in the grave. But till that time, right, they're still chasing. And so people who feel like at some point that you arrive, you never arrive because the hopes are so long. In fact, this is exactly how the Prophet ﷺ explained it in one hadith. That he had, you know, like a stick, and he drew it in the ground. It's hard for me to explain, but it's basically like he drew a square, and in the square he drew a line from here going up, and the line extended beyond the square. And then from the sides he drew like horizontal lines that go and meet with that middle line. And basically the analogy over there is that a person is in the middle, and you know, the square around them that is that's surrounding them is their life. That's your ajal, that's how long you live. And the things that happen come like this are the different trials and afflictions and stuff that exist within that are going to come to you in your life. COVID happens, right? I mean, the stock market crashes. It's always like things that are happening. And it's, if one misses you, then the next one's going to hit you, right? I mean, there's just no escape. And he said that this is the person's hopes. It goes way beyond a person's life, right? They feel like, I mean, if you're like 80, 90, and it's sad because, you know, recently a story came to me about this one individual who did some like super heinous thing when it comes to, I mean, talking, like it was something like, I don't remember the exact example, but you know, you can think about like taking respirators from people who are dying in India so that they can, like, you know, monopolize it and make more money. And the funny, and then you find out how old they are, like 80 years old. Like, why? Right? Why? Because the reason that this happened is tulul amal. They are completely blindsided about their akhirah. So a person who has long hope, he becomes blind of death and heedless. And the other problem with this is that it makes a person procrastinate. Since they think that life is forever, they're like, I'll become pious later. Some people literally, they said, I'm not going to go make hajj now. I'll wait till I become old. Sow your wild oats now, and then get it all out of my system. Right? I'm going to get all my system, do all my sins, and then subhanAllah, when I go old, then I'm just going to go say tawbah, Allah, I'm sorry. There are a couple of problems with that. Okay, the first problem is how you're going to make it that long. How do you know that you're going to make it that long? I mean, my father-in-law had cancer. The doctor said that, you know, you're not going to walk in like 3 months. And subhanAllah, he lived for like 20 years. And in that time that he lived, like, we always had this like thing, feeling like he might leave us at any time, right? Every year, it was a gift that we had with him. And in the time he lived, we saw so many young people passed away, right? In front of our eyes, right? Sometimes we're the people who put those janazas of those young individuals in the grave. But somehow we think that it can't happen to us. The second thing, that mistake of this type of thing, is if you procrastinate, how do you know that you'll have the tawfiq to make tawbah at that time? Maybe as a recompense of your insolence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even remove you from the deen. Forget about tawbah. You may not even be the deen to make tawbah. Right? It becomes a real problem. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimullah, he was asked, what is zuhd? So he said, when he was asked about what is zuhd, he said that instead of tul amal, he said it's having a short hope. Short hope. And he said, who wakes up in the morning, he says that I will not stay alive in the evening. In another narration, this is in Bukhari actually, that if you survive till the evening, do not expect to be alive in the morning. And if you survive till the morning, then don't expect to be alive in the evening. How many people live like that? That every day could be your life. أَصْبَحْنَا وَالْحَمْدُ لَذِي أَحْيَيْنَا بَعْدَ مَا أَمَاتَنَا. Every time you go to sleep, you could have died. And you get a new lease for that one day. So you got to make every day count. Uwais al-Qarni, rahimullah, was asked, they asked him, how is time with you? Like, how does time work with you? And he replied that, how is time with a man who, if survives till the evening, he does not expect to be alive in the morning. And if he survives till the morning, he does not expect to be alive in the evening. he is promised with either Jannah or Jahannam. That's how he lived. And some of the ancestors, Agavir, when they had said to the effect that I've never slept and thought that I would wake up. When they slept, they went to sleep thinking that I'm really going to sleep. That's a scary thought. Right? How many people feel that they're in a such a situation that I've crossed all my T's, dotted all my I's, I can go to rest tonight. And if you really think about it, you won't be able to sleep at night. We have so many things to mend. We have things to mend with Allah. We have things to mend with our parents. We have things to mend with our siblings, with our friends, with our loved ones, with our teachers. I mean, there's hardly a relationship that we fulfill the huquq of properly. Hardly. Right? If any one of those. And then we're ready to die and somehow meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's really scary. So this is a very good way to remove the love of the dunya is to have short hopes. Now a person can, tempering it from the other side, doesn't mean that you can't ever plan. Because technically if you take this in a very literal sense, then if you're going to die the next day, that's what the hadith in Bukhari says, then you shouldn't have kids because you could be dead tomorrow, right? And you can't have any type of plan. So the ulama write about this, right? Now if you, for example, have a project, you want to write a good work, a scholarly work, then you can make a plan for that. And there is a sense of, you know, being able to plan long term. And there's a very nice story about this, about a person, an older person who was planting a tree. And this tree takes maybe 20, 30 years to give fruit. So the Shah was a Persian, the Shah was walking, you know, driving, going past him, and he saw this old man doing this. He said, "What are you doing, old man? You're planting a tree in such a way that you'll never be able to eat from its fruits, right? How much hirs do you have in your heart that you're planting something that you can't benefit from?" So he looked at the Shah and he said that, you know, our ancestors, they also planted trees because of which we eat fruit today. He said, "I'm planting this tree not for myself, but so that my progeny can also eat tomorrow, right? And our children can eat tomorrow." So having that vision, that's a good thing, right? That's in the deen. And so the Shah became so happy that he gave him some, you know, some money, a hadiah, right? So he said, "Look, my tree already gave me benefit." So then he gave him some more hadiah. So how do you treat this disease? The way that you treat this disease is to ponder this one idea. Maulana Tayyib Qasmi, who used to be the rector of the seminary in Deoband, he had come to the United States in, I think, 1984. A long time ago. It was one of his few trips to, maybe his only trip to the United States, I don't know. So he had come to the same masjid I was telling you about, this Islamic Foundation, and they asked him to give him a talk. And people at that time didn't, like, value scholarship or whatever, so then, he was a big scholar, right? Mawlana Yusuf and, you know, some of the other ulama in the audience will tell you what his status was. So they very insolently, they said, Mawlana Sahib, you know, we're really busy, we're Americans, we're really busy, we can't really listen to a long talk, you gotta make it really short, right? So he said, he didn't take it, you know, in a bad way, very humble. He said, okay. He said, "Alhamdulillah wa kafa, wa salamun ala ibadil ladina istafa amma ba'd." He said, "Prepare to this world in accordance to the amount of time that you will spend in it, and prepare for the akhirah in accordance to the time that you will spend over there. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen." Khalas. That was the bayan. Right? So if a person ponders this simple aspect, he will set a lot of this tul amal straight. The second thing is to visit the graves. This is also another sunnah that people have forgotten. In fact, I'll go so far as to say that, you know, some of our pious predecessors to reawaken and to really cut and break this idea of tul amal, because it's really encrusted in the heart. And some people have written about it as a chronic, incurable type of disease. It's very hard to take out. They would actually go and lie in the grave just to remind themselves that this is where you're growing, man. Wake up, right? Stop thinking that you're going to live forever. So it might seem morbid, but it was a way to wake themselves up. And there's also a difference between Raja and Amal. Raja is also hope. Amal is also translated in English as hope. We have such a deep English language, subhanAllah. The difference between Raja and Amal in Arabic is when you have a hope for something in because, like, you know, can you hope for, you know, a good outcome in your schools, in your work, in your family, so on and so forth. The thing is, when a person has Raja, the aim is, they have some goodly aim. And as opposed to Tul Amal, it has no basis. Or its basis is only rooted in things of the dunya. Mal, hub al-dunya, these very low things. I'll also mention one small thing over here, that a person shouldn't have Tul Amal, but on the other side, you shouldn't desire death either. And this is actually becoming a bigger and bigger issue amongst the youth, right? That the suicide rates are just skyrocketing, right? And I mean, dealt with those type of situations on more than one occasion. It's heart-wrenching. I mean, when you know, for example, like your student is dead lying on the floor, I mean, it hurts. And like then you think, like, you know, maybe one... Then you just double guess yourself, like maybe if you had said the right thing, maybe if you could have done something different. It's just, it's tough. It's tough on friends, it's tough on family, it's tough on, you know, it's just tough on everyone. It's, and if they only knew how much, what a hole they leave in everyone else's heart when they take their life, maybe they wouldn't have done that. But there's no way that you can reach them sometimes, right? These are people who are self-mutilating themselves, you know, there's different ways that people take their lives. It's very sad. But so while you shouldn't have very long hopes, you shouldn't also desire death either, right, on the other side. That's also a problem. And what's that called? Those situations where, you know, for example, Maryam alayhi salam, Ya laytan mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasiyan mansiya, or Imam Bukhari, those are exceptional situations when they had said that, and that was because out of a fear of some type of fitna in their deen. It wasn't because of a sabab of the dunya. Most of the kids who are committing suicide are suicidal or want death. It comes from a place of escapism. They're not able to grapple, they're not able to cope with the difficulty of the situation, so then they're like, this is a way out. That's the only way they know how to get out of that situation. And what they need to what people just need to understand is, you have other options. There are other options, and if you don't know what those are, just reach out, right? It could mean the difference between life and death, right? It could mean the difference between life and death. There's a story also of, and one of the reasons not to wish for death, right? Some people, they say like, well, I just want to die. Why should you not want to die? The reason that you shouldn't want to die is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained life for you, it could be one of two things for the individual. The one situation is that you lived a bad life so far. You're messing around, you're screwing around, you're doing all the messed up things. Then if Allah gives you some time, you have some chance to make tawbah to nasuha. Right? So that's beneficial. If you had an extra chance, right? It's like basically you wrote all the wrong answers on the test. The time of the test was over, you're like, I just want to turn it in. And the teacher says, no, you can erase all your answers. Here are the right answers, just put the right one in, I'll accept it. So why would you turn it in early? That would be dumb, right? So don't seek to death for that purpose. And maybe you write all the right answers. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you more life, then it's a chance for extra credit. Then you can actually do more good deeds. This is another thing. Some people, you know, alhamdulillah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them tawfiq, gives them a good life, makes them, you know, from his awliya, and they're very righteous, they get very scared. They get, miserly in a certain way. And this is also a weakness of tawakkul. It's much more subtle, right? Because they have this connection now with Allah and all of these type of things. They're like, I just want to die right now, right? I'm in a good spot. I have iman right now. Ya Allah, just take me. But what they should understand is the same Allah that gave them the tawfiq to be like that at that point will inshallah give them the tawfiq. Have a good zan with Allah. He will continue to give you the tawfiq to keep on doing good things. In fact, there's this one sheikh. He was very beneficial to other community, and other people were learning from them. And you know, you teach one kid how to read Quran, all the Quran that he'll read for the rest of his life, every letter, وَلَا أَقُولُ أَلِفَ لَا مِيمْ حَرْفٌ وَلَكِنْ أَلِفْ حَرْفٌ وَلَامٌ حَرْفٌ وَمِيمٌ حَرْفٌ. Every single letter, you're going to get reward. Imagine what that must be like, right? So why are you going to give up that opportunity? So, you know, that person felt very ill, and he was about to die. So one of the people came to him and they said, "Oh, Sheikh, it looks like you're very sick. You're going to die." He says, "No, I'm not going to die yet." He says, "How do you know?" He said, "وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسُ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ." Right? Whatever benefits the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish and keep it in the earth. So as long as there's still benefit for other people, so you should become a source for khair for other people. And that can you can expand your goodness. And it reminds me of the story about one of my teachers. He went to he was in Mecca, right? And he went to meet some big sheikh over there. So they went through the alleyways and the back places of Mecca, and they went to meet this one sheikh, and they knocked on the door, and this old man came to the door, and they said, "Oh, sheikh, mashallah, we met you." And he said, "Oh, no, that's not me." He said, "We were looking for my father." He said, "Oh my God, okay." And he said, please come in. He just went to go get some water. He'll be back." So they said, "Okay." So they came and they sat down. And this teacher of mine, who was like, mashallah, he was an ocean of knowledge of himself, subhanAllah. And he was sitting there for some time. Then after a little while, a young man comes in, black beard. You know, he's carrying two buckets of water, and he like brings it in. And he said, "This is my father." So I'm like, "What?" Like it was this, you know, this moment of this doesn't even make any sense. And he got to know that, you know, that he had. They said, "How are you so young, even though you know you're so old?" He said, "I made dua for it, right? I made dua for it." They said, "Look, if you're mustajabud da'wat, Allah's listening to your dua, then you should have asked for becoming, you know, having this connection with Allah, having the wilayah of Allah." He said that Allah had already given me that. So then after Allah gave him that, he said, "Then I made this dua to give me a long life so I can keep on doing more good and make my akhirah better." Right? So we can have a positive attitude in our lives. That if, you know, Allah has kept us on the straight path, then we can benefit others and benefit our own selves. Allahumma ij'alna minhum wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Jazakumullah.